All right, good morning, Homefront. Sorry I couldn't be with you guys in person this morning, but the video for this week is going to have to do. I want to jump right into the fourth part of our series on the one another's. We've got this one and one more to go. When we started off in the beginning, we talked about how, as a couple, in our introduction, we talked about how, as individuals, we've been created uniquely by God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and when we came to Christ, we were given gifts, spiritual gifts. And then God in His sovereignty put us together into a body. When we look at the church as a whole in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks a lot about the body and the members of the body, but that's also true about the sort of the microcosm of the church, which is the marriage. It's the family. And so as a couple, we have been put together, assembled by God in His own sovereignty. And in that relationship, we depend on one another, and we are more than the sum of our parts. And those are kind of our big takeaways from the first week. And then we dove into these one another statements that we find throughout the New Testament. And we said that the overarching one, the first one, the key one, is the command to love one another. And that all of the other love commands are sort of the fleshing out, or all of the other one another statements, rather, are sort of the fleshing out of the love command. So that to love, and Jesus said, "And by this they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you have love for one another." And so that is the kingdom ethos. If we want to talk about what is sort of the ethos of the kingdom of God, it's described in one word, it's love. And then what does that look like in action? Well, that's where we get into all of these other one another statements. And in week two, we said that the first one another statement had to do with attitude. And that our attitude was going to set the stage for everything else. And if we didn't have the right attitude, the right mindset, that living out these other kingdom, commands or kingdom ethics was just not going to be possible on any kind of a consistent basis. And the one attitude that's given us there is the attitude of humility. Right? We looked at 1 Peter 5:5. Clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. And we said that humility is seeing ourselves in light of reality and seeing ourselves in the light of Christ. It's not thinking too much of ourselves, not thinking too little of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. That makes sense. And we said that this humility is going to open the door to all of the other one another's. Love and mercy and kindness and all those kinds of things would be open to us through the attitude of humility. And the reason for that is that, as Scripture tells us, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And grace is unmerited favor, it's gifts, it's power from God to live in the direction of His kingdom. So with that attitude of humility orienting us, then we began to dive into the relationship one another's, and that was last week. And we said that our relationships, and in particular our marriage relationship, should be characterized by peace, or wholeness, right, shalom, and harmony. We said that harmony was the making of a consistent and pleasing whole out of different parts as they work together. And then we said the how, so how do we do this? And the how of cultivating an environment of harmony and peace within our marriage is laid out for us in some of the other relationship one another's. The key one of those we find in Ephesians 5:21. We said it's to submit to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, or the other version of that in Romans 12:10, which says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. So we cultivate this peace and harmony in our marriage by mutually submitting to one another, by showing deference to one another, and we do this out of reverence for Jesus Christ because it's what He's done for us. Right? So we have the imperative, and we have the indicative. And we then jumped into, again, and as we covered last week, is this is a lot easier said than done, right? We are flawed, sinful human beings that will fail in little ways and big ways. And the only way that we're able to grow in the direction of mutual submission, in the direction of harmony and peace within our relationships, and we talk is through four other one another's that we talked about. And these were accepting one another as we are, bearing patiently with each other's faults, forgiving each other freely, and then the last one was practicing kindness and compassion. Now, those, you see how these all build on each other, so those we know are only possible in increasing measure if we allow God's grace which is freely given. But if we allow God's grace to flow through us as we build into our marriage the practice, two spiritual disciplines, two practices to build within the rhythm of our marriage, and these were confessing our sins to one another, admitting when we've failed to one another, whether those are ones outward sins that are obvious or ones that are more inward, and then praying for one another. And we talked about how if a couple will do these two things, I guarantee that peace and harmony will begin to grow in increasing measure out of that practice of confessing to one another and praying for one another. So, that's our review. So what does this all look like in action? What does it look like in action? That question in itself brings us to the next set of our one another's, which are the serve one another's. Let me put up a couple of verses on the screen here. So serve one another in love, Galatians 5:13. Serve one another in love. So this is an action. This is stepping out and taking action towards your spouse. And it is the purpose, as you see in that second verse, 1 Peter 4:10, it's actually the reason why we've been given gifts. We haven't been given gifts in order to use them on ourselves. According to 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. To serve others. So, when we're serving one another, this is where we actually get to see the attitude of humility acted out. We get to see the relational orientation of mutual submission lived out. Right? Each action of humble, loving service is really like, you think of it almost like a prophetic act. Right? It's pointing back to the God of love. And so our serving will happen on three planes primarily. And these are not a Cessna, a 747, and a Skyhawk, no. The three planes are, little aviation joke there. The three planes are the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. The physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. So I want to look at each and give an example of each. And you guys are going to have time at your tables to expand on these and add your own examples to these. So let's start off with the physical. Serving one another physically. So serving one another is obviously more than doing physical service. But it can't be less than that. It can't be less than that. You know, if we look at some of the big examples, John 13:14, wash one another's feet. Now, obviously, you may actually wash one another's feet. I don't know. But what Jesus was trying to show an example of there was this example of humble service, being willing to humble ourselves before others, before our brothers and sisters in Christ, and in our case, before our spouse, and to serve physically, to serve their physical needs. And Jesus said, as I've done for you, you should also do for one another, right? Because the student is not above the teacher. But the student, when he's fully trained, should be like his teacher. And so that's our example. If you look at 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So this talks about the quality of our service for one another, that as we're serving our spouse, whether that's, think about the different ways you serve your spouse. Are you doing it with an attitude of joy, or are you grumbling along the way? If you are, if you're grumbling, you've kind of diminished the power of the service. So show hospitality toward one another without grumbling. I met with a brother this past week, and he was talking about his wife and their relationship, et cetera, and he said, God has been speaking to me and just reminding me and telling me over and over again, treat her like a client. Now, they're having some troubles in their marriage. And I said, well, what do you mean by treat her as a client? He said, well, even when I'm upset, even when I feel like my client is being demanding, even when I feel like my client's being unreasonable, I smile and I'm kind and I serve my client. And he said, and for whatever reason, God has been just saying, treat her like your client. And then I don't think that's not such a bad way of looking at it, because, you know, oftentimes we reserve our best treatment and our kindest treatment for people that are not within our family. We reserve that treatment for perfect strangers or clients. So, you know, there are extremes, obviously, and when you talk about examples, right? You know, if a spouse is sick, I've got, you know, a friend who shortly after they were married, his wife had an aneurysm, and he was left caring for her and continues to care for her this day, and she's got no ability to care for herself. So physically speaking, he cares for her as you would a child, and has continued to do that faithfully. That's an extreme, and you know, God willing, most of us will not ever be in that situation. But it can happen in all kinds of small ways as well. I mean, is there, you know, making a cup of coffee for your spouse in the morning, setting out their vitamins for them in the morning. If you've got young children, you know, giving the spouse that has the larger share during the day of care for the kids, giving them a breather, taking the kids, letting them go out with some friends, or, you know, all of those kinds of things are serving physically. So I would ask the question, you know, how do we serve and care for one another physically? And it's a good thing that you guys can discuss at your table, or you can discuss with your spouse. It can be little things from, you know, the laundry to fueling the car. If your spouse has a particularly stressful job, you know, are there things that you do to help relieve that stress from them? All of those things are serving physically. And why do we do it? Why do we serve physically? This all goes back to our covenant, the covenant of marriage that we talked about. We are, if you remember from Genesis, we are one flesh. And Ephesians 5:29 says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Right? So because in a covenant we are one flesh, we care for each other as we care for ourselves. You know, Jesus makes this example in a different way and drives the point home in a different way, in pointing out to us that when we love our spouse this way, when we serve our spouse this way, we're actually serving Christ himself. In Matthew 25, listen to what Jesus said. And he said, when I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And if you remember the story from Matthew 25, the people that the king is saying this to come back and say, when did we ever see you like that and serve you? And of course, you know, it's a familiar passage. We know that the king responds to them, whenever you did this for the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Okay, so in serving your spouse, even loving your spouse when they're not lovable, keep in mind the perspective that in doing so, you are actually loving Christ. You're actually loving Christ. So how have you served your spouse physically this week? How is it that you share your care for one another? And are you sharing that care? Are you serving one another in ways that your spouse will appreciate? Because, you know, we all have different ways of receiving love and care and ways that we understand it. And so think through those things. You know, how am I doing that? And if you're on the receiving end of that service, I would say this too. It's really easy to begin to take those things for granted. Remember having a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude towards your spouse. So if there's that cup of coffee waiting in the morning when you come downstairs, a thank you would be really kind. If there's your laundry is folded and on your bed at the end of the day, thank you is a great way to start. So have that attitude of thankfulness. And remember this as well, that when we care for our spouse, we're caring for ourselves. Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. So we're really caring for ourselves at the same time. We're one flesh. So we care for one another physically. We also care for one another emotionally. We care for one another emotionally. And I want to run through, I'm going to put up a few verses here and then give some examples of each, because I really want you guys to talk about these, talk through them. So I hope you're taking notes. We started off talking about serving one another physically. So maybe that's a good way to break it down. You can just write in your notes physically, emotionally, spiritually, and then take some notes under there. But I'm going to run through a couple of these real quick. Bearing one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, right? Bearing a burden is really just about helping one another bear the weight. And I put this under emotional, but it really can be physical, can be spiritual as well. Bearing the weight of a physical, emotional, or spiritual burden. Bearing one another's burden. Is your spouse carrying a burden that you could come alongside and lend a hand with? Doesn't mean taking it entirely onto yourself. There are some burdens that we're meant to carry. But as one flesh, are you carrying your piece of his burden, of her burden? Encourage or strengthen each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Right? Are you filling your spouse with strength and with courage, with your words? And this is a big words of affirmation type thing. Are we encouraging them? Are we, in our attitude of thankfulness, are we encouraging them to continue on? How are we filling our partner with strength, with courage? How about this one? Build each other up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And this kind of begins to bleed into the spiritual side of things too, because when we talk about build one another up, specifically in the context of 1 Thessalonians, we're talking about promoting the growth of our spouse in Christian wisdom, in affection, grace, in virtue, holiness, blessedness. Right? Are you actively promoting your spouse's spiritual growth? Are you promoting your spouse's walk with the Lord? Your spouse's walk with the Lord obviously is going to be very important to you, because the degree to which their relationship with the Lord is strong is going to play a huge role, a huge part in your relationship and how they're relating to you and how free they are in forgiveness, and a whole number of other things. So promoting your spouse's spiritual walk, building each other up. How about this one? Spurring one another on. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I love this word spur because it actually means to provoke. We're not supposed to normally provoke our spouse. It's usually a bad idea. But if we're provoking them to love and good deeds, that's a whole nother thing. So how do we do that? How do we provoke them, incite them to good, right? Not forsaking fellowship. You know, your spouse may be going through a period where, or maybe it's just their bent where they're not naturally drawn to being with other people. But as a mature Christian, recognizing that we're to live in community, that the fellowship is an important thing, are you spurring them on? Are you inciting your spouse to not neglect the gathering together of the body? Serving together. Are you inciting or provoking your spouse to serve? We are all been given gifts, and those gifts have been given to us for the common good, meaning the common good of the body. We're meant to give of ourselves. Are you inciting your spouse to do that? Are you inviting your spouse to come and participate with you and to serve with you, to share your faith, to give of yourselves to the fellowship of believers? Are you inciting your spouse even in the area of generosity? Maybe one of you, you know, usually in a marriage, you've got one who's maybe more fearful about money and one who's less fearful about money. It could be a situation where one of you doesn't want, you know, is resistant to be generous towards others, towards the needs of others, towards the needs of the church. That's maybe an area that you can spur one another on to love and good works. So those are just a couple of areas, but I really want, you know, bearing burdens, encouraging one another, building each other up, those three, and then spurring one another on to love and good works. You know, you think about, and I'm not, you know, going to name names here, but, you know, in the church, in Homefront even, and in the, you know, in the church body as a whole, there are all of these things, right? We're all at different life stages. We're all going through different things in our marriages. There are people that are, you know, there are ladies in the church going through menopause. There are men in the church having midlife crises. There are people with anxiety, disorders. There are people that just struggle with, you know, a low level of anxiety or depression. How are we serving one another in marriage through those things? Are we bearing that burden? Are we encouraging? You know, if your spouse is going through a midlife crisis, are you helping them to navigate that in a way that's healthy, helping them to have God's perspective on that? If you have a spouse who's going through menopause, premenopause, postmenopause, are you patiently bearing with them? Are you encouraging them through that? Or you've gone into selfish mode where, you know, you just want it to end, right? These are the things that we need to think about as we ponder on these one another statements, particularly in serving one another emotionally. Now, the last area that we'll talk about here is serving one another spiritually. Serving one another spiritually. And I just put one in here because we could have broken it down. There's actually two one another's in here. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with hymns, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So teaching and admonishing. The word teaching there is where we get the word didactic from. It basically means, you know, a transfer of information, a transfer of knowledge. And then admonishing sounds harsh, I think, in the English term. When I think of I've been admonished, it's kind of like a not a positive thing, like you've done something wrong. But really admonishing in the sense, in the context of this passage, means to caution someone or reprove them gently. There's a qualifier in there, to reprove gently or to warn someone, to caution someone about something. And this is critical. You know, the closest person to you in your life is going to be your spouse. The person who knows your struggles, knows your weaknesses, knows how you are behind closed doors, knows your prayer life, knows your devotional life, right? You know, the person that's going to know all that is your spouse. I'm not going to know that necessarily. You can put on a good show and come here to Homefront, and I keep up good appearances, and nobody here will ever know who you are and what your struggles are at home if you don't open up. But that's not something you can hide from your spouse. And so we need to take the proactive step of knowing that we can each teach one another. There are things I can learn from Patricia. There's spiritual things I can learn from Patricia. Her spiritual love language is different from mine. She connects to God in a way that's different from the way that I do. And so I can learn things from her, and vice versa. At different times in our marriage, I have needed to be warned or admonished gently, right, by my wife. And I have had to, and I know it's scary because, you don't want to get a bad reaction, those kinds of things, which is where the gently comes in. But we need to do that for each other. If we don't do that for each other, nobody else is going to do it, because we are the ones that are most intimate, that we know each other best. And so it's important that we have a spirit, again, it goes back to the spirit of humility, that we are willing to have a teachable heart, to allow our spouse and even encourage our spouse to do that for us, to warn us when we're going off track, if we're having thoughts or feelings or we're engaging in something that really is not within God's kingdom agenda for us, whether we're having negative thoughts about ourselves, negative thoughts about our kids, or the way that we're going to deal with something at work, or whatever it happens to be. We need to give our spouse the freedom to be able to gently reprove us or warn us, and we have to have a teachable heart. And then at the same time, we need to be courageous enough to do the same thing for our spouse. We're commanded to do it. Teach and admonish one another. Teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love that he goes into songs. So I don't know if this means we're supposed to sing these things to each other. But for me and for us, I think it's the music piece of things is a memory tool for us. It's also a way to connect our minds and our hearts, our will and our emotions to each other. And, you know, kind of filling your home with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is a great way to continue to cultivate that atmosphere of peace, that atmosphere of harmony in your home. So, kind of bringing this week to a close, right? It's a reminder, love is the command to both the husband and the wife, right? In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then Titus 2:4, and so train the young women to love their husbands. So the love command is for both. The one another's then flesh out that command to love in our attitude, which is humility, in our relationship orientation, right? Mutual submission, outdoing one another in honor. And that is acted out in our service to one another on the physical plane, the emotional plane, the spiritual plane. And the positive one another's really describe the way that Jesus lived among us. The positive one another's describe Jesus Christ, which in turn describes the Father. It's the exact imprint of the Father's nature. And Philip said, show us the Father, that'll be enough. Jesus said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. But at the same time, you know, Jesus understands our weaknesses. And so he has provided for us, God has provided for us the stop at one another's. And the stop at one another's are the ones that we're going to get into next Sunday. And Lord willing, I'll be here with you guys in person and as we kind of close out this series. So I'm going to pray, and then I want you guys to take some good amount of time just to go through and talk about, talk through the discussion questions that you have on your tables. And then if you get a chance, share within the room, you know, some of the nuggets that you had at your table so that we can all benefit from the shared wisdom here at Homefront. God bless you guys. I hope I see you next week. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your command to love. And thank you, God, that you didn't just leave it at that command, but you explained what it looks like in great detail and in many, many places. You have explained what it looks like to love, both in our attitude, in our relational orientation to one another, and in serving one another. God, help us to take these things to heart. Help us to live with a kingdom mindset. Help us to live according to your kingdom agenda. God, to see the manifestation of your rule and reign in every area of our lives, not least of which is our marriages. God, I pray for your blessing. I pray that you would bless this conversation that these dear brothers and sisters are going to have now around their tables, that it would be open and honest and encouraging, edifying and pleasing to you. God, continue the work that you've begun in each of us when we trusted Jesus as our Savior, the work of transforming us evermore into his likeness. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, we'll see you next week.